From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Standing Fast in Gospel Liberty, part of this series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Galatians. In the course of this book, Paul emphasized that free grace is the vital principle of the only gospel of salvation God has ever revealed to us. It is a gospel that entirely repudiates human merit or works as having any part in salvation. And Paul pronounced God's curse upon any who tried to adulterate this message. An important emphasis in Galatians is the matter of Christian liberty. Against those who would use their Christian liberty to allow all kinds of questionable behavior, Paul declared that liberty for the believer is a standing of perfect acceptance before God in Christ. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, It Becomes Mutual. The text is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here is a mutual interest. Each belongs to each. God is the portion of his people, and the chosen people are the portion of their God. The saints find in God their chief possession, and he reckons them to be his peculiar treasure. What a mine of comfort lies in this fact for each believer! This happy condition of mutual interest leads to mutual consideration. God will always think of his own people, and they will always think of him. This day my God will perform all things for me. What can I do for him? My thoughts ought to run toward him, for he thinketh upon me. Let me make sure that it is so, and not be content with merely admitting that so it ought to be. This again leads to mutual fellowship. God dwells in us, and we dwell in him. He walks with us, and we walk with God. Happy communion this! Oh, for grace to treat the Lord as my God, to trust him and to serve him as his Godhead deserves! Oh, that I could love, worship, adore, and obey Jehovah in spirit and in truth! This is my heart's desire. When I shall attain to it, I shall have found my heaven. Lord, help me. Be my God in helping me to know thee as my God, for Jesus' sake.
Bearing fruit for him.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
My friend, I want to tell you, as long as you try to overcome your guilt by what you do, you'll never overcome it. There's only one power can wipe out the guilt of sin, and that's the power of grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Then again, here's the amazing thing. Well, it's not amazing when you really stop to think of it, but it appears amazing. These people were saying, you've got to do this, do this, do this, and do the other thing in order to be accepted by God. Paul says, these are the very people who are slaves to the flesh. You see, law righteousness never will make a man holy. You don't get victory over sin by willpower. You don't get victory over sin by how strongly you're trying. You get victory over sin by grace through faith as you live in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's how you get victory over sin. Galatians chapter 5, we read in verse 19, gives you the works of the flesh. And these are the things that religious people were turning out. Paul was not talking about the heathens just. Oh, this would be true of heathens. But Paul's talking about these religious people. Listen, you would think this was ABC News talking about the latest scandal of preachers. He says, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All these are things. And he says, look, these are the religious people who think that they're going to satisfy God. And they're going to erase the guilt of their conscience. And they're going to get to heaven by how well they live. He says, not only do they fail to get to heaven, but they fail to live well. They're slaves to the flesh. And of course, they're slaves at best to uncertainty. You see, only the gospel of free grace in Christ can produce liberty. And Paul gives you great reasons for that. There are actually four great reasons for it. And let me list them for you. First of all, chapter 2, verse 19. The gospel of free grace gives you liberty because it satisfies the law. You see what 2:19 says? I, through the law, am dead to the law. What does that mean? Well, let me give you a very simple summary of its meaning. Through the law, that is, through the law being met and satisfied. As far as the law is concerned, I have paid the penalty. Christ died. I died in him. As far as the law is concerned, my death has already taken place. The law of God has no more condemnation for me. It is satisfied. Now, the law is satisfied. It's not abrogated. It's not curtailed. 3:13, Christ was made a curse for us. Christ bore the full rigor of the law. He didn't just set it aside, ignore it, or anything else. It wasn't lessened in the slightest degree. What does that say about these people who say, well, surely God will accept the best I can do. Surely God will let me into heaven, even though I'm not perfect. Surely God doesn't expect better than my best. My friend, God expects absolute perfect conformity to his law, and anything less will be visited with the punishment of hell. We don't get to heaven by God dropping the standard. We get to heaven by Christ meeting the standard. That's how we get to heaven. So it satisfies the law. Second, this gospel of free grace brings peace to the heart because it justifies the believer. Chapter 2, verse 16, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We're justified. Verse 20, I am. Again, let me change the wording because as time has passed, I am crucified doesn't, to a modern English hearer, convey all that it conveyed when it was first written in 1611. It means I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, he's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. He says, I have been justified. What glorious news this is. When God looks at Christ on the cross, It's not only Jesus Christ of Nazareth as one individual that's on the cross. As far as the law of God goes, it is Christ as the legal head of all his people, so that all believers are comprehended in that mighty sacrifice. God says their death has taken place. The law has been satisfied. They have been justified. They come forth from the dead now, and like Abraham in chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, they are already justified in the sight of God. What a wonderful truth it is. That brings peace. I want to tell you, my friend, when you know that you're justified, your sin is gone, your righteousness is the very righteousness of Christ, you're as sure of heaven as if you were in it, that God could no more keep Christ out of heaven than he could keep a believer in Christ out of heaven. When that gets a grip of your heart, I'll tell you, it gives you peace. The law is satisfied. I am justified. But it gives you peace again because it sanctifies the believer. This gospel of grace sanctifies the believer. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" What I want you to underline there is ministering to you the Spirit. The word minister means supply. He supplies the Spirit to you. And he's saying by grace, God supplies the Spirit to his people. Now look at chapter 5, verse 22. What does the Spirit do? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. You see, when God saves a man, he supplies to that man the Holy Spirit. Not just once and forgets about it. But notice the present tense in chapter 3, verse 5. He constantly supplies the Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit abiding within the justified believer produces fruit. Now, you're not saved by what you work and what you do, but once you're justified, you work holiness because the Holy Spirit is within you. I want you to get what this means. We have liberty. We have peace. We have great freedom in the gospel. Only the gospel can make you free because it satisfies the law. Only the gospel can make you free because it justifies your soul. Only the gospel can make you free because it alone sanctifies the believer. But do you notice this? Liberty is not license. In chapter 5, and in verse 13 we read, "Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh." Let's underline that. Don't make your liberty an excuse for sin. These people who say, "I am justified, I'm accepted by God, therefore I can live whatever way I like, and the way they like to live is sinfully," those people are not justified and they are not saved. Paul says, this liberty is liberty to be holy. It is not a liberty to be sinful and wicked. Across fundamentalism, we have this whole controversy about lordship salvation. I got a paper in from another independent Baptist church, must say, a very much better production. And this paper was looking at the preaching of certain people in fundamentalism who are saying that faith is just a decision and you don't need to have Christ as the Lord of your life in order to be a Christian. And they go to the sin of David and say he didn't have Christ as Lord of his life when he sinned with Bathsheba. You see what they're doing? They isolate the temporary failure of an individual believer and they make it the permanent standard for their lives. That's hypocrisy. That's wickedness. These sins of Christians and Old Testament saints are recorded in Scripture in order to guide us to holiness, not to give us an excuse for sin. How could you be a Christian while deliberately denying Jesus Christ as Lord? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, in the abstract, no, sir, that he's your Lord. If he's not your Lord, who is your Lord? If your Lord is yet the devil, don't try to tell me you're a Christian. This is not license we're given, it's liberty. But then again, notice this. I've spoken about these people who think the Christian liberty is the liberty to go out and smoke and drink. And let me tell you, these are the very people who come to people like us and say, you're legalists. You don't believe in drinking and all the rest of that. So you're legalists. My friend, let me tell you, the adoption of high standards for the sake of our testimony is not legalism. It has nothing to do with trying to justify ourselves before God by works. It is simply taking what Paul says seriously, that we're desirous not of vain glory, but we're desirous of provoking one another to good works. We're desirous of doing what we can by the will of God to let the whole testimony of the gospel guide us in what we do so that we don't trip up other Christians and we don't bring dishonor to the name of Christ. And I would say in a country like America that's sinking in an ocean of alcohol, I would say the best testimony a Christian and a Christian church can lift up is to say we are against it 100%. But having said that, that is a standard for our testimony. There are other Christians who disagree with us. We say, fine, you disagree. We're not saying you can't be saved. We're not saying to you that you're excluded from the Church of Christ. We're not saying that you could not have fellowship with people of our persuasion. What we're saying is that you can't come in here and guide the affairs and take over the affairs of this church, for we believe this is a testimony that's vital to the glory of God. It's nothing to do with legalism. It's a testimony of liberty. Up in Canada, some of the brethren come from the Dutch Reform background. And of course, the Dutch Reform people practically all like to be smoking. They like the tobacco weed. And when they came in to the Free Church, they found that we didn't believe in Christians being addicted to smoking. Some of them had a hard time. But the Lord opened their hearts and they got victory. So they went back to their friends and they were beaming. They were rejoicing in the Lord and they were testifying. And everybody could see they were like new men. And one fellow who was back in the old church, he said, ah, you people are in bondage. You're with these fundamentalists. You're in bondage. And he was puffing away. You're in bondage because you can't smoke. And my friend said to him, he said, come off it. Come off it. You know better than that. You can't stop that. Come on, tell me who's in bondage. You can't stop that. And I couldn't stop it. I was a slave to it. But I'm not a slave anymore. I'm free. Now tell me who's in bondage. End of argument. End of argument. Thank God. It satisfies the law of this gospel. It justifies the believer. And it sanctifies the believer. Makes him holy. The only holiness is the way of the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. Live by faith in the crucified Christ, and you'll live in holiness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.